You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Come to me and let me know, and we will sort that out. Amen. How many know we need to get into the Word of God? If you get in your Bibles, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. We're going to start a new series, and the reason why I thought to start this series has been on my heart for a little bit. But the main reason is the season that we're in. How many know this is the season where people start to think a little bit about Jesus sometimes, or at least you're seeing Jesus on cards, or at least baby Jesus. How many know people are talking about those things, baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary and all of these things seasonal for this time of year. And people give cards, they know about the donkey, they know about the baby in a manger. But the reality is that they're talking about baby Jesus, and it's funny how people love baby Jesus but reject the man Jesus. Much of Christmas, how many know that really and truly much of it, and I'm not against it, don't listen, it's not me to bang on, you know, spoil your Christmas, but much of what we think about Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus. Did you know that? Nothing to do with Jesus. When we talk about, what do we think of things about Christmas, the tree, Christmas tree, Father Christmas, mistletoe, mistletoe can get you in trouble, listen, be careful with that mistletoe. And so these type of things, turkey, these things have nothing to do with Jesus. Now, let me just insert something here, a little warning. I am not one of those Christians that are against everything to do with Christmas. Have you ever, that if you have a Christmas tree, it's demonic, they want to show you pagan history and all of this. Well, yeah, if you worship a tree, you're a pagan. I mean, if you've got a tree in your house and you're, oh, mighty tree, give us a good year, then yeah, you're a pagan, you need to repent. But I'm sure God is not so insecure that if you have a tree with some tinsel on it, that he's thus saith the Lord. That's an abomination now. We know people used to worship trees, they don't worship trees anymore. So it's a whole different thing. And many times people get off on that, and so I just wanted to put that in there because you can go online and people always say to me, Pastor, I read this thing, I saw this thing online, this guy said about trees, and he said, you know where that, yeah, I know where it all came from, but we're not worshiping it. We don't worship it. And the other thing is, many times these people that are, they bang on about something that God has, really doesn't care about, they themselves have got an idol in another area. And so it's diversion. It's look at that because you don't want to see me doing this. And but that's a whole nother sermon, and maybe we'll preach that. Look at that because you don't want to see me doing this. But the true thing is this. Why did Jesus come? Why did he came? Why has he come? What does the Bible tell us? Because it's nothing to do with any of these things. We want to look into this today. We're going to have a short message, but I believe it will help us to understand why Jesus came. From 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, the Bible says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your presence. We thank you, Father, that we're in this wonderful facility. And we believe, Father, that you will add to our church. And we believe that many people will be saved. And I pray, Father, it will start today and it will start now. That you will impart something into us. I pray, Father, that we would leave here blessed, knowing exactly why you sent your son Jesus into this world, Father, to change our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people said, you've got to do better than that. All the real Christians said, amen. I told you I'm far from you today, so you've got to be a bit louder. The Bible says this. in our text why Jesus came. He came to save. Look at someone and say, he came to save. This means the reason why he was born, the reason why he lived, the reason why he died, the reason why he resurrected was to save. This is why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ did not come because God thought, oh, they need more celebrations. I don't mean the chocolates in that packet. I mean, you need more things to do. So I'm going to send my son and I'll give you two more celebrations. You're going to have a Christmas when he was born. You're going to have Easter when he died. That's not why Jesus Christ came. He did not come also to give us a new philosophy on life. He didn't come to, you know, if you've read the Sermon on the Mount, we're going through it on a Wednesday. We call it Christ Culture. And even by anybody's standard, this is some of the most deepest, you know, the most profound words and speech ever spoken. Because he speaks about all different things that encompass every area of life. But can I say to you today, Jesus Christ never came to give us a new philosophy on life. Like, oh, this is how I need to think about life and all of this. No, he came to give us more than that. Jesus Christ never came to give us a revolution. You know, during Bible times, the Romans were occupying the Jews. And Jesus came and he wanted to liberate them spiritually. But he wasn't like some sort of Che Guevara, you know, revolutionary. This is what we're going to do. We're going to break from the oppression of Rome. Jesus never, that's not what he came to give us. This one may shock you. He never came to bring a new religion. Jesus Christ never came because he thought we need another religion. Have you ever met someone and they said to you, oh, but you know there was many religions around before Jesus. Ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, you're right. And Jesus never came to give us another one. He never came to give us a new religion. That's not what he came for. He came to give us a relationship with the Father. There are many religions around in Jesus' day, and they were all as helpless as they all are now without Jesus. See, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to save. That word save is sozo in the Greek. And what it means is to make well, to recover, to restore, or make safe. That's what Jesus Christ came. He came to make well. He came to recover, to restore, and to make safe. This is why Jesus Christ came. Luke 19 verse 10 says this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus' whole drive and everything is to save. Is to recover that which is lost, to restore, and to make safe. So the question is this, who did Jesus Christ come to save? Who does he want to save? Save who? Well, the text tells us very straightforward. It says this, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. How many know that's not a word that is commonly used nowadays? Sinners. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you'd be like, no, we use that all the time. Sinner. But how many know that, you know, reality is before you came to church, this is an old-fashioned word, sinner. It's not a word that people are using regularly. It's an old-fashioned word. Some people would even think, you know what, it's an outdated word. I've even said people use it in a way which said like, it's almost like a funny, you sinner. You're a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner. And they use it as a mockery. But who are these sinners that need saving? Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Who are these sinners that needed Jesus to save? Well, let's look a little bit deeper. If we look a bit deeper, everything becomes a bit more clear. The word sinner, what it means is not hitting the mark. That's what it means. When you say sin or sinner, it means not to hit the mark, to miss, or to fail. I want to give you a little bit of illustration. Where's Royston? Is Royston around here? Royston, where are you? Okay, Royston's going to come up here. Faithful Royston. Do you have it with you, Royston? what we need?
Yeah.
You got them, okay. Weston's packed, ready to roll. So Weston will stay here. So I'm going to go over here, and Weston's got some ping pong balls, correct? Oh, what an assistant. He was made for the stage. It's too late, ladies, he got engaged this week. And so Weston, what we want you to do, let me step even further back. Let's see if you can hit me with that ping pong ball. Did you just play cricket? No. All right, let me get someone else up. No, go for it. Let's try. Let's see. Oh, nearly. Should we give him another go? All right, that was a bit of spin on it, a bit of a Shane Warne. Oh, nearly. Okay, I'm going to make it a bit harder. Say what you want. Let's see if you can do it. Let's see what happens. Nearly. One more try. Go on, we'll give you one more try. Give him a round of applause. Don't worry about that. Don't worry. He's gonna save them. Sell them. Hey, actually, stay here a second. Stay here a second. Imagine, just to stay here. Let me carry on with the message. Don't worry. I'm not going to do a James Wilkins on you. Imagine this now. He's throwing these balls and he's missing me. He's missing the mark. And the Bible says the word sin is to miss the mark. That's what it means, is to miss. So when the Bible says that these people, Jesus came to save the sinners, Jesus has come to save those who have missed the mark. What mark? Now, we told Royston, try and see if you can hit me. But what is the mark that we're supposed to hit? This is the mark of God's standard. The Bible says that if you've missed the mark of God's standard, you are a sinner. I am a sinner if I've missed the mark. Let's just give a few things that are the mark. In Exodus 20, you can read it at your own leisure. The Bible says, these are the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Most people, those things, you've put other things before God. So you've made your own God. Your girl was your God. Your pride was your God. Your house was your God. Your kids were your God. You put those things before God, you've already broken them. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. How many people you heard him blaspheme? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. That one, many of you have already broken that one too many times. Honor your father and your mother. The Bible says you shall not murder. Hopefully, that one hasn't been broken. If it has, still good. I like you. If you did break, you know, just don't murder me. What does it say? It says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. Stealing, lying, coveting things. How many know we've done these things? That means you've missed the mark. See, God had a mark of perfection. God says, this is my mark of perfection. And you have one life. See, we gave him four. How many know you don't have four lives? How many know you ain't going to die and come back as a dandelion? And then die, and then a cow's going to eat you, and then you're going to come back as a cow. And no, listen, you got one life. Once you die, that's it. You had one life. You have one life. And that life is going, 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 and it's already missed the mark. It's already missed the mark. The Bible says this in Romans 3 verse 23, we all know it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know what the picture is this. Is that if Royston was the mark of God, I'd throw my life and it's fallen short. It didn't hit the mark. There's nobody here that can say, you know what, Pastor, I've hit the mark. There's no one here that can say you've never lied. There's nobody here that can say you've never lied. There's nobody here that can say you've never lusted after something. There's nobody here that can say you've never put something before God. You've missed the mark. Jesus says he's come to save sinners. So that means you're a sinner. Listen to what the Bible says here. Romans 6 verse 23, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now think about this now. Imagine Royston has to hit the mark. Come forward a little bit. I almost forgot you was there. Imagine beneath him there's a trap door. And we say to him, take that. And we say to him, you know what? Underneath you there's a trap door. And you've got to throw it and hit my finger. How many is hopeless, man? It's hopeless. And so he throws it, but then he's missed it. And so now the trap door is just slowly opening. He's missed it. He's missed the mark. But imagine now, stay where you are. He's about to collapse. He's about to drop through into perish. He's going to die. He's going to be destroyed. His life has already missed it. And as he's about to fall, as the trapdoor's about to open, someone comes behind him. He has no more ping pong ball. Someone comes behind him, throws it. It goes right through, hits the mark, and he's saved. Saved. He had no more. He only had one ball, one life. He's saved now. Somebody came behind him, threw it perfectly, hit the mark. He's saved. That person was Jesus. Jesus came for us, and the Bible says he lived his life perfect. The whole time he lived his life perfect. And he hit the mark of God. He died on the cross. Saved. That's what it means to be saved. Thank you, Royston. How many know that's good news? See, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, what it's saying is, you're going to die because you've missed God's mark. You're going to go to hell because you've missed the mark. Now, you know what we do is this. This is how we look at our lives. We think, well, I'm not that bad. How many know that's how we usually do? That's how we think about it. But how many know if Royston throws the ball and it went out the door, he still missed? How many know if it went a millimeter past, it still missed? Missed is missed. We said either you hit it or you perish. Hit it or you perish. It doesn't matter if he threw it up in the air, if he threw it to the left, if he threw it to the right. And so what we're saying is maybe there are some people that have missed it worse than you've missed it, but you still missed it. Maybe there's some people that have murdered, that have killed people. Maybe there's some people that have abused children and done wickedness. And you think, yeah, they've missed the mark. They have missed the mark. And they've missed it more. But you still missed it. You still missed it. God said, listen, every man has sinned. How foolish would it be after this sermon, Royston starts to go around saying, see, I got it. I got it. See, I got it. In front of everybody, when everybody said, you mad? We saw you missed it. See, that's what self-righteousness is. When people sit around and they think, no, I'm okay. Are you mad? Do you not know? Can you say that you have not lied? Can you say that you have not lusted? Can you say these things? You cannot say these things. I cannot say these things. See, Jesus, the Bible says, has come to save the sinner. What Jesus did is he hit the mark for us. How many want that? How many are glad for that? How many need it? What the Bible says is this, is that you are going to physically die, and then because you've missed the mark, you are going to be separated from God for all eternity. That means what most people would call hell, because you've missed the mark. And you may think here, I didn't miss it by much. You still missed it. We don't want that. See, most of us want to be saved, but we don't want to admit that we're sinners. See, this is what Paul says here. Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he says this, of whom I am chief. See, if you're going to be saved here today, you've got to first say, I am a sinner. You can't get saved until you say, I am a sinner. See, it's not until you admit that you've missed that you can actually receive Jesus' perfection. Paul says this, I am a sinner. Paul actually says this. He says, I am chief sinner. What that means is I am the top sinner. Have you ever read that and thought, why does Paul say that he's chief sinner? Why would he say those words? Paul wasn't going out smoking crack. He wasn't a pimp. He wasn't in a gang. He wasn't doing those things. Why would he say that he is the chief? For the simple fact is this, that he rejected Jesus. He lived his life without Christ. He was living his... Do you know that? That alone makes you the chief sinner. He lived his life without Jesus. Are there people here today, you're living your life without Jesus? Paul says, you know what? He was a Jew. If you read in the New Testament, the Bible says he was a devout Jew. That means he would have tried not to lie. He would have tried not to steal. He was a Jew. He was a devout Jew. He was a religious Jew. He was what we would say was a good man. He didn't steal from people. If he saw an old lady, he would have helped her across the road. If he saw someone in need, he would have given them a bit of charity. He would have done good deeds. But after he has become a Christian, after he's received Christ, he says this, I was a chief sinner. I was a top sinner. Paul, what did you do to be a top sinner? He says this, simply, I rejected Jesus. I did all of these good deeds, but I rejected Jesus. You could be doing all types of good things, but if you reject Jesus, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. 1 John 1 verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess and say, listen, I'm a sinner, I need saving. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will admit, then he can work with us. But then listen to what he goes on to say this. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If you are here today and you say, no, I haven't sinned, then you're calling God a liar. Well, I know who I'm going to believe. And the Bible goes on to say, and his word is not in us. The Bible says that you don't know him. Because you will not admit your sin, you do not know him. At the end of Jesus' life, Jesus is crucified. And the Bible says there were two criminals either side of him. How many ever read that? There's two criminals either side of him. And these two criminals, they call out to Jesus. Both of them call out. But Jesus only answers one of them. Now, we need to really analyze this, because how many of you have ever called out to God or said a prayer? Put your hand up. If you ever said a prayer, lift your hand up. So most of us here, we've called out to God and prayed. But the Bible says that here were two men that called out to Jesus. We could say they prayed to Jesus. They're on the cross. But Jesus only answers one of them. Could there be people here that you're calling out, but he doesn't answer you like he just didn't answer one of the guys? Let's read it. Luke 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. This is, so he's hanging on the cross. He's next to Jesus. He's going through this painful experience. And he says, listen, you say that you're the Christ. Man, save us. Save, come off the cross then. Talking all this Jesus. Save yourself or save me. Oh, you see, I'm dying. I'm suffering here. The Bible says he's a criminal. The Bible says, but there's another guy. In verse 40, look what it says here. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here is another man. I love that. He rebuked the guy. Shut your mouth. He did. So he did. He rebuked him. And so he's on the other side, and he says, listen, let me bring it down into, 2015 language. He says, listen, we got what we deserve. We did the crime. We did it. This is what happens. When you do what we did, this is the position you get yourself into. He don't deserve to be here. See, the guy on this side, what is he really saying? This is what he's saying. He's saying, get me out of this tough situation that your own sin put you in. Get me out of this situation. I want out. This is too hard. If you're God, get me out of this situation. He's not admitting that it's his own fault. He's not admitting that he was the one. He's not saying, oh, I'm a sinner, I deserve to be here, but say, no, no, no. Get me out of this. If you're God, get me out of this. You know what he's using, Jesus? How many have ever played Monopoly? Heard there's a few little Monopoly syndicates rising up. Hope there's no beef in the church. I hate board games, so don't invite me. People be, hey, let's play the board games. No, 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 no. Invite someone else. Bring out the food, I'll come. But think about this now. When you're playing this board game, I may quote it wrong because I haven't played it for years, but there's a get out of jail free card, yeah? That's right? And so if you get that card, you can kind of hold on to that card, isn't it? Like you got that card, and so you're playing the game, and you, because if you go around the board, I think it's on the corner. Is it something on the corner? And you go to jail, you got to roll something or do something special or something to get out. So you go on the I'm in jail. People are passing you, buying properties. You're rolling down. You're getting frustrated. You're getting carnal, but we don't want that. And so you're doing all of this. This is happening. But if you have that card, you just put it in your pocket. Yeah. And so you're playing. Then you go, hey, get out of jail free. See, some people, that's how they use Jesus. See, in the game of Monopoly, you don't go into jail and then you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You have to repent to get out. How many know you don't like, I'm sorry, what I did was wrong. My attitude was wrong. The words I said was wrong. I was lusting, that was wrong. You know what, I shouldn't have punched them, that was wrong. You don't have to do that. Or when you're in jail, it's not like you come to a place where you realize, I've done wrong, and then they let you out. It's just a card. There's no inner change. And that's how many people are. They come to Jesus and they want, Jesus, if you're real, get me out of this. You're in trouble now. You've messed up. Your decisions have brought you into this place. I remember I was talking to someone the other day and it brought it back to mind. Sometimes you sanctify your own past. But one time I got arrested and I had to go to court and they gave me a suspended sentence. It wasn't nothing, but it was something silly. It was just something silly, 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 silly. It was not like I'm OG, I was running things, you know what I mean? No, something silly. It's like, I killed a hedgehog. It was just silly. Yeah, no, but it wasn't that, but it was silly. I don't want to say, but it was silly. It was just, just boy stuff, fighting and silliness. And so, I remember so basically what happened, it was the weekend, I think it was a Friday night, and so they locked me in a cell in one of the police stations, and so I had a big mouth. I wasn't saved, I had a big mouth, so I'm running off my mouth, I'm gonna do this, okay, no problem, just put me in a cell. And they just put me in a cell, I'm back, the right, I was there, I'm hungry now, man. I'm starving. I'm humbled now. They come in. Hi, can I have some biscuits, please? I'm humbled now. I just realized that I'm not built up for this road life. I'm not built up for this jail life, man. I need to repent or something, man. And so what happened was, is that I remember being in there, and so they had this nasty plastic kind of bed thing. It's nasty. And so, prison birds. I thought I was going to be brothers. I understand. It was like, well, sister. Mm-hmm. He does. How many know we thank God he came to save? Hallelujah, sinners. Woo. Amen. Don't worry, your testimony's safe with me. And so I turned the mattress over and I found a tract, like a gospel tract. And I read the gospel tract. And I was like, I read the whole thing twice. I had nothing else to do, man. I said, God, if you get me out of it, I will change. And they took me to court and they gave me a suspended sentence. They said, listen, if you get in trouble again like this, we're going to deal with you. And so I got a suspended sentence. You know what? I didn't change. I think for about an hour, I come out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. A friend called, hey, what's going on? Yeah, yo, let's do it again. How many of us have been like that? Jesus is just a get out of jail free card. You've done something, you know, you shouldn't have done it, and now you're in a position. Now you're suffering. Your financials are suffering. Your mind is something. You're in some beef or something. All of these things. And you're calling out to God, get me out of this, get me out of this. If you're God, get me out of this. Jesus didn't even answer him. Jesus didn't even rebuke the guy. Jesus, I don't even respond for that. Jesus, I don't even deal with you, man. The other guy rebukes him. Shut your mouth. This guy, what's the difference? This guy says, listen, I belong here. My decisions, I did wrong and it's brought me here. He says, I've received my just reward. He says, so have you. You've received your just... I don't know how the conversation was. But he's like, you just received your just reward. We've done wrong. That's why we're here. Don't you get it? This guy's having a moment with God. This guy's really meeting with Jesus. His sin is before him. He realizes, oh, I'm a sinner. And then when he realizes, I'm a sinner, I've missed the mark. The one life I had has been missed God's mark, God's standard. Then he turns to Jesus and he says, can I just be with you? Can you remember me? Can you save me? And Jesus says turns to him, oh, what a way to get saved. Your last moment, man. He's about to pass into eternity and Jesus just snatches him. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, he reassures the guy. The guy, his mind must be going through all types of things. And Jesus turned to him and said, assuredly, let me assure you. Let me reassure you. Let me put confidence in you. Let me show you. Because you have told me, because you've admitted you're a sinner, that's all I needed. You're not perfect. You cannot live a life this and he cannot go on. See, some people here, you may be a Christian right now. And you think, oh, but I'm living clean and I'm living good. Listen, you're no more than a saved sinner. You're no more than a saved sinner. You cannot offer God. We cannot offer God nothing. See, the problem is we started by realizing we came into church with nothing and now we think we're offering God something. So it's now we're going to bargain with God. The bargaining days are over. You cannot bargain with God. We are not. Listen, I'm nothing more than a saved sinner. If God was to remove his grace from me, think of something wicked, times it by 1,000, I would have done it by this morning. And you would have done it twice. He says, most assuredly. In our text, look what he says. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. You know what that means? Paul is saying, this is a faithful saying. Listen, he says, you can bank on this. Jesus saves sinners. If you will just admit, I'm a sinner. I need saving, man. I've missed the mark. He says, Jesus will save you. He will save you. He said, listen, be reassured. More than all of your religion, more than all of your own self-righteousness, how many times you've been to church, how many times you haven't been to church, how many times you've prayed, how many times you haven't prayed, how big your Bible is, if you've memorized the Bible, if you've done rosary beads, all of that religious nonsense, it doesn't earn anything. It's as simple as this. I admit that I'm a sinner.
will you save me? The Bible says, be assured, you will be saved. He says, you'll make it. You, if you do that, this is faithful, man. This is it. You'll make it. Sometimes you're like, can I make it? Have you ever thought, like, am I going to make it? Maybe it's just me. There's times I'm like, boy, am I going to make this? This thing ain't easy. It ain't easy being cheesy. This thing's hard. This thing is hard. There's been seasons in my life. Like, boy. But you come to God, like Paul, I say, you know what? God, I'm a chief sinner. He says he's able to save you. He's able to redeem you. He's able to change you. This is why Jesus Christ came. This is why he came. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.